Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Last week on Easter Sunday, we spoke about the surprise of the resurrection, how no one was expecting Jesus to rise from the dead, and how initially disconcerting it was to hear the news that their Lord, who had been crucified, dead, and buried, was now risen and alive and promising to meet with them. Well, today we go to the evening of Easter Day, the evening of the first day of the week. The disciples had had a very confusing day, and they were gathered together, frightened behind closed doors, because they were afraid that the leaders of the Jews would come and take them into custody and dish out to them pretty much the same thing that had happened to Jesus. And because they were filled with anxiety, sorrow, confusion, they had, various of them had seen things and had heard things, and they didn't really at this point yet know what to think. And so there they were, locked behind closed doors, and Jesus came and stood in their midst. The risen Christ appeared to them, and he appeared to them graciously and mercifully. He said, "Peace be unto you. Peace be to you who have been confused and saddened, who have questioned everything that you have believed in the past few years, those of you who have forsaken me, those of you who have left me alone, those of you who have failed in faith." Jesus comes and says, "Peace be unto you." And then it says in our text that he showed them his hands and his side. Our Lord Jesus Christ wanted them to be sure that it was really him. It was not a product of their imagination. It was not some kind of mass hypnosis or some other kind of mentally manufactured experience that they were having, but that Jesus Christ, crucified, dead, buried, and now risen again from the dead, was among them with peace and with grace. And he was saying to them, "Peace to you." You see, what Jesus won for us on the cross, when he took our place, and when he once and for all paid for our sins, he won peace with God for sinners. And so he showed them his hands and his side. And the Bible tells us in verse 20 that the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Confusion, sorrow, turmoil, and fear were now dispelled, and they were filled with gladness, that is, with joy, because in one moment's time, seeing the risen Christ there and examining his hands and his side, they were assured that he had truly risen from the dead. And this means that the ministry of Jesus was not a failure. It didn't come to a crashing, horrible, shameful end. And their faith in him is vindicated. Their claim that he was the Christ, the Son of God, and their following him and giving up their lives to come along with him was now shown to be true. And they were filled no longer with fear, but with gladness. So again, Jesus speaks to them and he says, "Peace be to you." And the word peace there, we always have to remember, this word is a gospel word. Peace be to you is a wonderful gospel word because it tells us that we have peace with God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And so he repeats this again. Peace be to you. And then he says, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. The Father had sent his Son, Jesus, into the world in order to be the world's Redeemer. He did what was necessary to be the Savior of the world. He suffered on the cross. He died for the sins of the world. He was buried. And then on the third day, he rose again from the dead. And now, having accomplished all that the Father had sent him into the world to do, and now risen and vindicated in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, he says, just as the Father sent me, even so send I you. And then he breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. So, in one verse, we learn that the apostles, whose teaching is the foundation of the Christian church, the apostles are sent into the world with a mission, just as Jesus was sent into the world with a mission. And their mission is what they are being empowered for here when Jesus grants them the gift of the Holy Ghost. Because the mission that they have cannot be done with the arm of the flesh. It cannot be done by mere human works and mere human institutions. It requires the gift of the Holy Ghost in order to fulfill the mission to which Jesus has called his disciples. And what Jesus calls them to, he empowers them to. And then he says these wonderful words, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. This is the authority that is given to the Christian church on earth to forgive and retain sins. This authority is possible because Jesus Christ has already once and for all decisively dealt with sin, death, and the devil. He has entered into death on our behalf. He has fought the devil on our behalf, and he has paid for sin on our behalf. And now he is victorious, and he commands the disciples to go into the world with the forgiveness of sins, and he bestows upon them his authority to forgive the sins of those who are penitent and to retain the sins of those who are not penitent. To forgive sins means to set someone free from sin, to absolve them from their sins. To retain sins means to tell someone by the same authority of Jesus Christ that because of their impenitence and their unbelief, they are still in their sins. And if they do not repent, they will surely perish everlastingly. And so here we have the authority, the mission, and the empowerment of the Christian church, beginning with the holy apostles of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this answers the oft-stated worldly observation that I'm not in favor of organized religion. Here in this passage, we are to learn that the Christian religion has been organized, built, and set up by Jesus Christ. It is Jesus who sends the church into the world. It is Jesus who gives them His Holy Spirit, and it is Jesus who authorizes them to preach the forgiveness of sins and to personally absolve those who are penitent. Therefore, when someone claims that Jesus is just fine, but that the church is not something they want to be a part of, that they like Jesus okay, but that they're not much for organized religion, it must be said to such people that if you do not like what Jesus has sent, empowered, and authorized, you do not like Jesus. Because the Church of Jesus Christ is built by Jesus Himself. It is He who is the organizer of the Christian faith. Therefore, when someone claims that they are fine with Jesus, but that they do not like organized religion, what they're really saying, maybe without even knowing it, is that they don't really like Jesus very much at all either. Because the church is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and it is the church that is called on a mission, and it is the church empowered by the Spirit, and it is the church authorized to forgive sins and to retain the sins of the impenitent. Okay, now, Thomas was not with them on that Easter evening. And when they finally saw him, they all began to say to him, "We have seen the Lord." In other words, they now were proclaiming that they were eyewitnesses of the risen Christ. And this preachment, "We have seen the Lord," this testimony of the resurrection of Jesus, is the divinely authorized and it is the Holy Spirit inspired and filled message of life and hope. And therefore, everything that is necessary for a person to believe is contained in the gospel preachment. That is, Christ has given the church good news, and through this good news, the Lord Himself is at work, creating and sustaining faith in those who hear. So the disciples testified to Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But because of his hardness of heart, he said, "Except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe." So Thomas refused to believe what his fellow apostles testified to him. Now everything was present in that testimony to kindle, reawaken, and strengthen faith in his heart. And therefore, what kept him from enjoying this wonderful hope that comes from this message was the hardness of his heart. And he insists that he will not believe unless he is able to physically examine the wounds of the Lord Jesus Christ. It says 8 days again, the disciples were within and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be to you. Christ is present in His church. And the wonderful thing about His presence is that it is a gracious presence. Jesus has not come into the world to judge the world, to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. And so it is. Christ, present in His church, is present with His peace, His mercy, His grace, and His blessing. So He says once again, "Peace be unto you." And then our Lord deals with Thomas. He says, "Reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." Notice that there is in these words an element of reproach. Why? Because Thomas should have believed the testimony of his fellow disciples, because Jesus had on numerous occasions predicted both his crucifixion and rejection, his death and burial, and also his resurrection from the dead. And therefore, the announcement that he was risen from the dead and that they had seen the Lord should have reawakened those memories and kindled and strengthened and nurtured faith. And therefore, Thomas was at fault in his unbelief. And so Jesus comes and he offers Thomas the opportunity to physically examine his wounds. And he says to Thomas, "Be not faithless, but believing." Right? The Lord knows our weaknesses and He knows our needs. He also knows the hardness of our hearts. Thomas, however, hearing these words of Jesus, he says in response, "My Lord and my God." Thomas is suddenly and wonderfully filled with faith as he beholds Jesus alive, risen from the dead and standing before him, and as he sees the print of the nails in his hands and the wounds in his side. And Thomas's faith is kindled and strengthened and nurtured, and he confesses with full Christian assurance that Jesus Christ is our Lord and that Jesus Christ is our God. And Jesus then says to him, "Thomas, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Now, the first thing we need to pay attention to here is this. Thomas was one of the chosen 12 apostles. Therefore, because the apostolic ministry was one of eyewitness testimony, it was necessary for Thomas to see the risen Christ, to experience Christ's resurrection in the fullest sense of the term. But notice that Jesus says, "Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed." And that includes every generation of Christians from the time of the apostles all the way to the present. We have not seen Christ physically. We have not handled Him. We have not been in His manifested presence, as were the apostles and the other eyewitnesses of the resurrection. We have come to faith by the power of the Holy Spirit of God, by the presence of Jesus in His Word. We have come to believe what we have not seen. And so, Jesus says, blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed. And therefore, Jesus pronounces all of the faithful in the Holy Christian Church to be blessed in Him, that though they have not seen, yet they have believed. And we have believed by the hearing of the Word of God. St. Paul tells us, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so faith is created in us by the Holy Spirit through the Word of the Lord. Every way in which Jesus deals with us is what we call a means of grace. Baptism is a means of grace. It is an instrument by which the Lord comes to us with His forgiveness and redemption and offers and delivers these things to us. Holy Communion is a means of grace. It is an instrument by which Christ gives us His body and His blood for the forgiveness of our sins. And the gospel, the good news, the glad tidings, the message of the redemption that God has accomplished for sinners in Jesus Christ is a means of grace. It is the message that is used by the Holy Spirit. As a matter of fact, the Holy Spirit and the Lord come to us through this gospel good news message. And the result of all of this is that we who believe without seeing, based upon this Word of God, and based upon baptism and the Lord's Supper, we are among those who are blessed because we have salvation. Now, the last part of our lesson today from John chapter 20 is John closes by saying that Jesus did many other signs in the presence of His disciples, which are not written in this book, but these are written. He's talking about His gospel. These are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. And here we see how the church does its mission of the gospel. That is, the church preaches the content of both the Old and the New Testaments, both the law and the gospel. And through this wonderful gospel, through the preaching of it, through the reading of it, through the hearing of it, we come to believe, because the power and presence of God is in this message. And these things are written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, that He is the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you might have life through His name. Life in Jesus means that we have been born again to a living hope. We have the new life that Jesus has purchased and won for us through this wonderful Word of God. a word of God that is present in baptism, a word of God that is present in the Lord's Supper, and a word of God that fills the pages of both the Old and the New Testament, this word of the gospel which brings us to life, which sustains us in the life of Christ, and which goes on forever. When it says that we have life through His name by believing, what that means is that eternal life for the beginner, for the believer, begins in the waters of baptism. It is sustained throughout this life by Holy Communion and by the preaching of the Word of God. And it is finally consummated when we enter on the last day into the kingdom of glory. So, not only does John tell us that Jesus appeared to the disciples and gladdened their hearts by the testimony of the appearance of Christ in their midst and showing them His hands and side, but He also sends them on a mission, He empowers them for the mission, and He authorizes them to forgive and retain sins. And He tells us here in this wonderful gospel how we go from being faithless to believing. And that is by hearing and believing the things that are written, so that our faith is in Jesus, who is the Christ, who is the Son of God, and that through faith we have eternal life through His name. Amen.